progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in...
Changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
If you do not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
believe that a society is great because of promises made by its government, not because of progress made by its people. And that was our change. We said something shocking. We initiated reform of the unfairness in our tax system. And what do you know? The top 5% of earners have been freed from paying any income tax at all. And millions of earners at the bottom of the scale are paying a higher percentage of the total tax revenue than they ever had before. That was our change.
Sorry about that, folks. Had a bit of trouble with the old CD player here. Yes, it's 14 minutes after 10. I don't know why I want to play this anyway. Enough of that. It's not the kind of music we play on this radio program. This is Brain Damage, and we're here until midnight, taking your phone calls and doing all kinds of other crazy things, like throwing the record cleaner on the other side of the room and reading the weather. Which weather should we read? There's two of them here. As soon as I figure out the cryptic language of the Associated Press to figure out which one is the most recent one. I guess it's this one. Okay. The weather for today is partly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers. Actually, that was the weather for today. The weather for tonight, low clouds, patchy fog developing, low 45 to 50. And Sunday through Monday, variable cloudiness with a 30% chance of showers. High Sunday and Monday in the mid-60s, low Sunday night near 50. And winds Sunday will be southerly around 10 miles per hour. It's a quarter after 10. The telephone number here is 516-632-6901. If there's anything on your mind, things that have happened to you this week, things that you'd like to bring up that have been in the news or have not been in the news, then by all means call. And we'll be picking up the phone after we go to our little weekly feature here, which has become almost a tradition. But if you want to get an early place in the line, so to say, you can call now, and we'll pick up after we play this feature. What feature am I talking about? Need you ask? It's become a weekly feature here on WUSB, and I'm referring to none other than Moscow Mailbag.
Joe Adamov to answer your questions. John Holman, Villa Rica, Massachusetts. Is it possible for a republic to leave the USSR?
John, it says in our Constitution that each Union republic shall retain the right freely to secede from the USSR. That's Article 72. In this connection, I want to say that the former constitution, which existed under Stalin, proclaimed many things that in practice either did not exist or were impossible to implement. Today, we are making our country, our government, subject to justice, subject to the law and nothing but the law. In a recent television discussion, a professor and a doctor of sciences at the College of the Ministry of Home Affairs, that is the College of the Police, was asked just the question you are asking. His answer was that though we have proclaimed the right to secede, we do not have the mechanism of secession. There are many undecided problems. The voting procedure, for instance, or the question of property. In each republic, there's an enormous amount of property that belongs to the nation as a whole, not to the republic, so how do we go about it? But I'm sure in our new government, subject to the law, these problems will be clarified. And let me conclude by saying that if some extremists in some republics call for secession, They are, believe me, the fringe, the absolute minority.
Stephen McDonough, Clifton Park, New York. What is the attitude of the Soviet people towards our new president, Bush? I hope he does a better job than Ronald Reagan.
Well, the Soviet people, knowing that Mr. Bush was vice president under Mr. Reagan, hope he will continue the policy of easing tension, the policy of detente, of curbing the arms race. We understand that today Mr. Bush is taking his bearings. He says he doesn't want to hurry, and he's working out his future policies. So we will wait and see and hope for the best. Now, from what the president has been saying of late, we understand he wants to continue the policy of detente. He sees perspectives in our relations, and so do we, incidentally. But there's one thing that does bother me, and that's that Mr. Cheney, Dick Cheney, who was chosen by the president, is for chemical weapons, for SDI, for continuing nuclear testing, and for interfering and pressuring other countries. That somehow gets me worried. Now, Mr. Baker is coming to Moscow in May, when he will discuss a wide range of problems, let us hope, in preparation for a summit.
How are the Soviet people reacting to perestroika?
I think their reaction to perestroika was shown very vividly by the recent elections when 80% of the candidates who were party members were elected. I think this shows an overwhelming support for the policy of political reform, for the policy of glasnost, of economic reform, reform in the social sphere. Of course, you will find grumblers who want immediate results on the shelves of stores. But you realize these things cannot be achieved overnight. We are today having various types of property on the farms. Besides our regular collective and state farms, we have one-family farmers, we lease land and implements to farmers, we have cooperatives and unions of cooperatives, they're springing up. Where this is taking place, incidentally, incomes and output have doubled and tripled.
Daniel Lula, Mahopac, New York. How popular is fishing in the USSR?
Well, there are millions of fishermen in the country. Even in winter, driving past a lake or a major water reservoir, you'll see people sitting in warm clothing, usually in furs, next to a hole in the ice, engaged in under-ice fishing. We even hold competitions in this sport. Of course, you realize the country abounds in lakes and rivers and seas. So we have about 250, I understand, species of fish that are good to eat. Among them, the sturgeon, which is, I think, the king of our fish, the salmon, cod, carp, pike, pike perch, trout, bream, catfish, among many others. Here in Moscow region, we have about 30 fishing lodges of our fishing society, and perhaps the delight of every fisherman in this country is ucha, which is fish soup boiled over a campfire. Now, driving to work in the summer here, I see fishermen with rods right on the banks of the Moscow River opposite the Kremlin, right in the heart of the city. Of course, where there are rivers and lakes, people, a lot of them, own their own motorboats.
About how much is an average rod and reel?
A good telescopic rod and reel would cost about $17, your money. Of course, the bamboo rods are much cheaper.
Do you need a license to go fishing in the USSR?
You do not need a license to go fishing. For hunting, you do. We do have strict fishing rules, though, and we also limit the methods of catching fish. These are very strictly adhered to. We do have zones banned for fishing altogether, and there you do need a license.
Thomas O'Brien, Bethany, Connecticut. How can one travel to the USSR with one's family on a reasonable budget?
Well, I suggest, Thomas, you contact any major travel agency. They'll give you the details. I think you'll find it cheaper if you travel in a group. Then it all depends, of course, on how long you want to come, for how long, and how many cities you want to visit. It might be cheaper off-season, but then things look quite different in summer. Much better, I mean. If you want to, you can also contact the Soviet travel agency In Tourist. I'll give you the address, 630 Fifth Avenue, New York, New York. It's very simple. In Tourist, 630 Fifth Avenue, New York, New York.
What about tours to the great battlefields of World War II?
I know you could visit Borodino, for instance, famous for the battle with Napoleon and also famous in World War II. Leo Tolstoy visited the battlefield in 1876, incidentally, when working on his War and Peace. There's a military history museum on the battlefield. Of course, you can also visit that Holy of Holies, Volgograd, known during the war as Stalingrad. And you can visit Mamayev Hill with its giant statue of Motherland. And there's a pantheon there. In the museum, there's a scroll presented by President Roosevelt and a jeweled sword presented by King George VI of Great Britain. I remember telling Lester Pearson of Canada when he was in Volgograd that there were 1,500 shell splinters, mortar splinters, and bomb splinters per square yard after the battle.
Martin Martel, Scarborough, Ontario. Other than through Radio Moscow, how does the USSR spread the word of peace around the world?
Well, we publish magazines and newspapers. Moscow News, I think, is very well known, and that's published in English. But I think more than any branch of the mass media, the word peace is spread by our constant peace initiatives. Remember, at the United Nations, Mr. Gorbachev stated, we will cut back our armed forces by 500,000 men, 10,000 tanks, 6,000 artillery pieces, and 800 planes, unilaterally, mind you. Then remember our unilateral year-and-a-half moratorium on nuclear testing. We just recently cut our military budget by 14% and the production of arms by 20%. Just recently, we announced that we're cutting back production of fissionable material for military purposes. We are ready to scrap chemical weapons. We are, to a very considerable extent, converting our military factories to produce civilian goods, up to 40% of them, incidentally. I think that's how we spread the word peace.
John Hellesy, Fair Oaks, California. What guarantees are there that there will not be Stalin-like reprisals on people who are now criticizing the government if Mr. Gorbachev fails and is overthrown?
You know, much is written in the Western press, in the Western media, about the possibility of perestroika failing. Is there a chance? And is there a chance of returning to Stalinist methods? You know, glasnost, openness, that is, freedom of speech, is the biggest guarantee of the irreversibility of the reforms in the Soviet Union. The formerly dreaded security bodies are today completely under party and government control. The democratization of society has taken firm root, though, of course, bureaucracy, I dare say, is still pretty strong. We are making our courts, our prosecutors, independent. Our parliament is becoming a permanently working democratic body with its checks and balances. We are separating the legislative, executive, and law enforcement bodies. I think all these measures rule out a return to the past. After all, you cannot reverse the wheel of history.
John Byrne, Toronto, Ontario. When critical social and ecological needs remain unmet, will we be able to convince our politicians not to spend large sums of money on space?
Just recently, dramatist Viktor Rozov wrote, "Why the devil is that huge thing called Phobos flying somewhere into the universe and followed by another Phobos? They must cost billions of rubles." Then several candidates for deputy to our Congress just recently had in their election platforms, cutting back expenditures on space research. And the very famous writer Chinggis Aitmatov said we have to think about the astronomical expenses on space research. Another thing that they criticized is these expenses are all secret for some unknown reason. But our scientists, our top scientists, proponents of space research, say you cannot reverse the development of human knowledge, of science, that the practical results and dividends are obvious. They say we should better define our priorities in space and know what to spend on.
Walter Schlaubaum, APTUS, California. Do Soviet citizens have satellite dishes?
The answer is no, we do not have any, and there are none on sale. Though, of course, some amateurs have, I know, been making some.
Does your space agency telecast the launch and onboard activities of spacecraft, and do they discuss openly the failures and successes?
Today, yes. Today, we see the launches on television. We regularly interview the cosmonauts in orbit. In fact, I myself did that on January 1st last year in honor of the bicentennial of Australia. I understand the film was also shown in the States. And just before I came to the studio today, I saw on our television an interview with the man in charge of all our space flights, and they showed no end of faults and failures and what have you throughout the history of our space research. And there was an article on that subject just a few days ago in our press. So you see, today the failures are discussed.
Have the Soviet citizens been privy to the loss of every astronaut during the brief history of space technology?
You know, we have reported every cosmonaut that was lost. This is a fact. Though in the past, the Western media tried to accuse us of no end of things, like the fact that Leonov never walked in space. There was also talk of losing a woman cosmonaut in space. But this is all nonsense. One cannot hide launches. You know that perfectly well, just as well as I do.
Why, if Russia is so far advanced in space programming, hasn't a vehicle been put on the moon?
You mean a manned vehicle? We did not put a man on the moon because at that time we did not have a powerful enough rocket like your Saturn. But we did land automatic probes on the moon that brought back to Earth samples of moon soil. And we also launched several moon rovers that traveled on the surface of the moon and telecast all that their cameras saw back to Earth. They were driven by an operator here on Earth. Personally, I would like to see more joint ventures between your country and mine. I think it would do both of us good.
Joe Adam of Answering Your Questions on Moscow Mailbag. Address your letters to Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR. You couldn't do better than write us that letter. Your comments on this show are welcome. Mailbag is on the air every Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday on the East Coast at 24.10 and 0210 UTC, and on the West Coast at 05.10 and 07.10 UTC. In the 19, 25, 31 and 41 meter bands.
Well, of all the nerves, you didn't mention us. Well, Moscow Mailbag is on the air in WUSB in Stony Brook, New York. That's 90.1 FM, 2200 hours UTC. Can't believe they didn't mention us. And I still have not heard any of our listeners have their questions asked on that program. So please, as she said, you could not do better than to write them that letter, or to write us that letter for that matter, and hear it on Moscow Mailbag here on WUSB in Stony Brook. We're going to be taking your calls now, 632-6901, area code 516. Thank you. number once again is area code 516-632-6901. The program is Brain Damage. We're with you until midnight, taking your phone calls, anything you want to bring up, anything that you think hasn't been spread out enough over the FM airwaves, something personal, something non-personal. That's what we're here for. 632-6901, area code 516. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hey, Eric, it's Bill.
Hey, Bill, it's Eric.
What a coincidence.
How you doing?
Not bad. What's this piece of music?
This is Philip Glass.
Oh, really?
Yes, it is.
Which one?
This is off Einstein on the Beach.
Oh, I haven't heard that yet.
This is a tremendous record. This one piece, what is this called? I believe that's called Knee 4.
We have that in our library?
It's funny because on the record it says Knee IV, but on the album cover it says Knee numeral 4.
Perfect 4.
Yeah. It's a very good piece.
Yeah. Do we have that in our library?
Yes, that's where I got it.
Look at that.
At the USB library.
So, I have a concern. I was just listening to Moscow Mailbag, and I've heard other Moscow Mailbags.
Uh-huh. You've only heard them on WUSB, right?
Obviously.
Yeah.
But then again, I only listen to WUSB.
Ah, well, that's good, too, I guess.
In any case, it's starting to sound terribly propagandish to me, as opposed to some of the older Moscow Mailbag. It sounds like a sales pitch for Perestroika.
Yeah, well, I mean, the old ones certainly were propaganda, too.
Yeah, well, a lot of things are propaganda, but it's starting to sound that way, I mean, in just the tone of it.
Uh-huh. Is there anything you want to point to in specific?
The kind of the way this guy answers the question, well, today and this and that and the other thing, and it just sounds more like a sales pitch than just a question and answer type of program.
Uh-huh. Well, it is put out by Radio Moscow, and Radio Moscow
is run
by the government, so I wouldn't doubt it is a sales pitch. Do you think the answers are factual?
Well, I imagine the answers are factual. It's uh-huh. Probably so far as they go. I don't imagine such an agency telling you everything, but that's not what I'm really saying. I'm just saying that it's sounding more and more like a sales pitch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want to sound flippant, but you could write to them and tell them that.
Oh, this is true.
You know, they have a nice, easy address to write to. I think it only costs
635th Avenue, New York.
No, it's just Radio Moscow, Soviet Union.
Okay, that's
the
right.
Whole thing. And it costs you, 45 cents to mail a letter to them, so it's no big deal.
Oh, that's right. The rates went up. I thought it was 40.
Yeah, it was 40. Now it's 40, 45.
Well, I just wanted to make that observation, and how are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good. You know, you're a student here on campus, right?
Yeah.
Is this the last week of school?
Yeah. Finals start Monday.
Uh-huh. So, what's the general mood around here?
Somber.
Yeah, I've noticed. I've noticed. The old buoyancy just doesn't seem to be there.
No, it's not. Everybody's bearing down and getting ready to fail their courses.
Uh-huh. Well, it's traditional, I guess, around this time of year. You have any plans for the summer?
I'll be here over the summer.
Ah, well, that's something to...
Those are plans.
Yeah, those are plans, all right. Anything else you want to bring up, or...?
Oh, not particularly. But
okay.
You sound like you have phone calls, so...
Well, we got a couple, but... thanks for calling, and
keep
listening.
If I get the urge, I'll call again.
Okay, you do that.
Okay.
632-6901, area code 516. That's our telephone number. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Over.
Oh, you have a horrible line, Andrew.
Hello?
This is the worst line you've ever had yet.
What?
Yeah, I mean, turn on your radio and listen to it for a second.
Yeah?
I mean, that's terrible. I mean, how can the phone company, in this day and age, give us a line that sounds like that? Where are you again?
I'm Farmingville.
Farmingville. Farmingville is a stone's throw away from this place. And listen to the kind of garbage we have to put up with.
Is that better?
No, it's not better. The hum is still there.
I'm sorry, Eric.
No, it's not your fault. I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at the phone company. They should be able to do better than this.
Hold up, okay?
By midnight, I want a formal apology from the phone company for this kind of garbage that Andrew has to pay for this phone call.
Well,
subjecting thousands of listeners to this kind of nonsense.
Well, I hate that, Bill. I think that what Bill Fox said was totally true. It did sound like a sales pitch.
Well, I say I agree with you, but I'll tell you this. Why don't you call me right back?
Okay.
Because then we'll have a better sounding line and we can understand what you're saying.
Sure.
Okay. While we're waiting for Andrew to call back, we'll ignore all the other calls that are sitting there and wait for the one new call, which we know will be Andrew. 632-6901, area code 516 is our phone number. We've got a couple of... interesting items to go into. We're going to look at the news, as we always do. And a couple of... Oh, this must be him now. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Good evening. You're on the other end of my telephone.
Okay. A much better line there. Much better.
Okay. What... Did you change something on your phone or something?
It wasn't my phone. My phone works fine.
Okay.
It was the connection between the two lines. When you made your phone call, you got onto a bad trunk somehow.
Okay, I think what Bill Fox is saying is really true. They say that the Soviet Union spreads peace. The only thing they spread is horse manure.
Well, I believe they import that from us.
That was funny.
Yeah, well, that was... But obviously it's going to be propaganda because, they have to sell themselves. No question about it.
Yeah.
I mean, what would you do differently?
What? Well, you know, I think, don't tell me that he doesn't have each one of those questions written down and rehearsed. I mean, how does he know all those addresses, the phone numbers, everything, all those questions, yes, to everything? I think either he's lying or he has it written down and it's been rehearsed.
Uh-huh. Well, when 60 Minutes reads letters, I'm sure they have it rehearsed too, you know?
I know, but can't you tell that, I mean, he never once doesn't have an answer for a question. Don't tell me he knows that much about Russia. No one does.
Well, he's a representative of the government, so obviously the government has to know the answers.
Economics, space shuttles, he does interviews for cosmonauts, he knows about newspapers. This guy is an...
Oh, Joe Adamoff is a media superstar over there. I mean, he is.
Like the Dan Rather of Russia.
You could say that, yes. I don't know if it would be true, but you certainly could say that.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the best cassette to get is Eddie Murphy. He is so funny.
You're launching into a different subject here, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I just bought a cassette at Sam Goody's. Eddie Murphy, comedian.
Uh-huh.
And it is so funny. Have you ever heard it?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
But I imagine it would be funny since he is a comedian and he is popular in this day and age.
But this is the one where he says a curse.
No, wait. You can't play it over the air.
Oh, I know.
Because you can't play a remote cassette machine over the telephone lines. Just, that's not
what I know, and especially what he says. You know, it would be kind of a thing.
Uh-huh.
Now, I have some trouble with someone. Someone is calling up your radio station.
Yeah.
And you might have noticed it. They're saying Andrew Goldberger's on drugs and hanging up.
Uh-huh. And it's not you.
It's not me. Because it's the call right after me. And please stop doing it. You know, it really isn't nice.
I'll tell
don't
them
take drugs.
I'll tell them to stop doing that right now. Okay?
Only do on Sundays now. Okay.
I'll tell the caller that comes on after you right now. This is probably him.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, bye.
Bye. You stop saying those nasty things about Andrew Goldberger, you hear?
I happen to know that Andrew Goldberger is not on drugs.
There you go. See, that was easy, Andrew, wasn't it? Sounds a lot like...
How you doing?
Sounds like Mike Juhas.
Yeah, it is.
Mike Juhas, you know, I was just thumbing through all the paper that people leave on the table here,
And
I happened to come across your address. It's just, looks like a change of address card for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you want to tell, since obviously it's here in public domain, do you want to tell us something about this?
Well, I'm moving to Wisconsin.
You're moving to Wisconsin?
Yeah.
My good friend Jan Janssen. How about that? Well, why would someone want to do a thing like that? It's cold. It's bitter. It's you know.
Yeah, well, you know why. You don't have to ask me. You know why I'm moving to. You know I was moving to Wisconsin. I was talking to you yesterday.
Mike, you've destroyed the whole mood here. The point of me asking you why was for all the people listening who weren't with us.
I have a job out there. That's why.
Oh. You'll note that's not real surprise. I'm just playing along here. So you have a job, huh? That's a reason to move to Milwaukee, I guess.
Yeah, well actually.
Did I say Milwaukee? I didn't mean Milwaukee. I just assumed it would be Milwaukee.
No, actually it's Waukesha.
Ah. Waukesha, huh?
Waukesha.
Tell us something about. Tell us first of all how to spell Waukesha, and then.
W a u k e s h a.
That's where he's going, folks. Okay, and now tell us what it's like.
It's like Milwaukee.
Oh, boy, I'm going to miss these loop-around conversations with you. So it's like Milwaukee, huh?
Well, yeah, it's a suburb of Milwaukee, actually.
Uh-huh. For those of us that have not been privileged to go out there, how would you compare it? I mean, is it a mountainous country? Is it what?
Actually, it's somewhat hilly, but not you know, mountainous. No, not by any stretch. It's not, and it's not flatlands either. It's not the great plains either.
So it's a bunch of valleys then.
Yeah, there's little hills and dales.
Uh-huh.
And Roy and Dale.
I see.
And Chippendale.
Do you know a soul out there, Mike?
Yeah, I know one soul.
You know one soul.
One soul who's been a friend of the family's for many years, and then just the only other folks I know are the people I'm going to be working with.
Uh-huh.
That's all.
Well, I would wager that you would probably meet some more people out there, and before you know it, you'll have a close-knit group of friends.
And maybe I'll have a radio show, huh?
If you can find a radio station out there. Are there radio stations out there?
They have a couple.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. What kind?
Various.
Yeah?
Well, they have a lot of commercial stations, as every major market does, but they do have a few non-commercial stations.
Anything like USB or like Radio Moscow?
Somewhat like USB, but... And yeah, somewhat like Radio Moscow, too. There's one I was actually listening to. They played a lot of foreign stuff, like they had an Italian radio program.
Wouldn't it be something if we discovered that Radio Moscow has a station, like in Minnesota or something? Just broadcasting as if, you know...
Well, it would be more fun if it actually turned out to be in Wisconsin, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So when is the big move scheduled for?
Oh, about a week.
About a week, huh?
Hey, are you going to be doing a show next week?
I believe Jim Wiener and myself will be doing a show next week, yes.
That means you're not going to partake of the activities in Mount Sinai.
Oh, Debbie McClatchy, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I won't do my show next week. I don't know. I do want to go to that concert.
I know you're a big Debbie McClatchy fan.
I do want to go to that concert. And, you know, I kind of like to share the sound of Debbie McClatchy with the folks that might not know who we're talking about. So, Mike, can I ask you a favor?
Yes.
Will you carry on the radio show while I go into the back and find the record by Debbie McClatchy?
Okay.
What song do you think would be best to...
I have lots of favorites.
Me too.
Why don't you go get the albums, and then we can discuss that.
Okay. You, no problem leaving you here alone.
No, as long as you're somewhat quick about it.
Okay.
Okay.
As long as I don't see anybody I haven't seen in a long time on the way over there that I'd want to talk to.
Go.
Okay, I'm on my way.
Good. Yes, Eric is going to the record library, and it's actually not very very long of a walk. And he's probably taking his sweet time, though, knowing Eric. He's running back to get some Debbie McClatchy. She's playing in a concert for the Long Island Traditional Music Association in Mount Sinai.
Mike, I just happened to pick up the phone here.
Oh, how?
I'm in the library now, and I don't appreciate being talked about while I'm busy doing something else. So if you would please keep to the subject matter. I'll be happy to get the record as soon as possible.
Okay, then don't waste time.
I don't intend to waste time.
Let's not carry this out much longer than...
I'm sure people would realize that I got here, I picked up the phone as soon as I got here, I was running. I almost hurt myself.
I should let everybody know about the layout, the floor plan at the radio station there, that the phone in the record library is located clear across the way from where the Debbie McClatchy record
is. Yeah, I'm over here by the F's, and Debbie McClatchy obviously is an M.
Yeah.
But I figured it was important to convey this message to you so that such things would not continue while I was searching for the record.
Well, then why don't you please kindly hang up?
I think I'll do that.
Okay.
Whoops, sorry. That was a 5, by the way.
Oh, 5. Okay, now that he's hung up, he's probably going past the F's and now heading past H's, and he should be coming up to M's at any time. I could almost picture him kneeling down and pulling out Debbie McClatchy records. a concert sponsored by the Long Island Traditional Music Association. They have a lot of neat shows from time to time. They also have contra dances, which is about every Friday night or so.
You.
What?
Oh. I ran all the way across this... the station complex here. And, Mike, you don't know the record library very well because Debbie McClatchy was all the way up on the top. I wasn't kneeling down. I was reaching up.
Oh, well. I didn't realize you had shrunk.
Yeah. Now, someone already pulled all the records out, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Now,
there's only 4. I thought there were more than 4.
There may be 4 or 5, yes.
Hmm.
Which ones do you have?
Okay, I've got Lady Luck.
Lady Luck, that's a good one. Is the Ballad of Blasphemous Bill in that one?
Yes, it is, in fact.
That's always fun. What else do you have?
I've got Homemade Goodies.
Homemade Goodies. What's on that one?
Let's see. We have Mississippi Moon.
Huh?
I Remember San Francisco, California Faith.
Right.
Dicey Riley, Plains of Waterloo, Best of Friends, Colorado Song. Then we've also got Debbie McClatchy with the Red Clay Ramblers.
Huh?
Which I think is a good record.
Yes, it is.
Seeing the Elephant, Brown and Yellow Earl.
You Are Only F-Bleeping.
Right, Hills of Kentucky, Dainty Davy, Wife's Lament, and so we also have
Off to California.
Off to California, yes.
Bob Carlin plays bass on that album. That's a pretty good album. Why don't you read off some of those songs?
Hello, Hawaii, Call Me the Whale, Thanks at the Sacramento, Victoria.
That's the one she plays spoons on.
Yes. Well, she plays spoons on a couple of songs.
Well, no, Victoria, I believe, is just spoons and singing, is it not?
Yes, Victoria is spoons.
Now, that song actually inspired you to do a spoon piece of your own, didn't
yes,
it?
Yes, I believe a fork and spoon piece that we did here at the radio station a few years ago.
You think you can dig that up?
I'm sure it's around someplace, not anywhere near here, but I could dig it up, yes.
Well, that'd be fun. What else is on there besides that?
It's possible that people don't know what we mean when we say people play spoons, you know. What does that mean? There's another song where she plays spoons in that same, this is on a different record. Merton Durkin. Mershon Durkin. Okay. Spelled weirdly.
Yeah.
It's an Irish song. She plays spoons on that, too.
So
why don't we listen to a little bit of one of those.
Why don't you play Mershon Durkin?
Okay. Let me get that all queued up here. Let's see. Where is it? Okay.
I love the sound of studio noise in the background here. It just shows that this is totally live and unrehearsed.
Yep, and totally professional, too. Okay. Queuing up the record here.
Scratch version.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Goodbye, Mershon Durkin. I'm sick and tired of working. No more I'll dig the praties. No longer I'll be false.
Sounds like she's here.
As sure as me name is Carney, I'll be off to California. Instead of digging praties, I'll be digging lumps of gold.
Hey!
Goodbye to all the boys at home. I'm going out across the phone to try and make me fortune in far America. Hey, where there's gold and silver plenty for the poor and for the gentry. If I e'er return again, no longer will I say, ah, goodbye, Mershon Durkin. I'm sick and tired of working. No more I'll dig the praties. No longer I'll be full.
Yeah.
As sure as me name's Carney, I'll be off to California. Instead of digging praties, I'll be digging lumps of gold. I've poured
delegates to this Carney convention
in Canturk and Killarney, in Passage and in Queenstown. That is the Cove of Cork. Goodbye to all the pleasure, for I'm bound to stick me pleasure. And the next thing that you'll hear from me is a letter from New York. Aw, goodbye, Mershon Durkin. I'm sick and tired of working. No more I'll dig the praties. No longer I'll be full. As sure as me name is Carney, I'll be off to California. Instead of digging praties, I'll be digging lumps of gold.
And there it is, W. McClatchy here.
What's a praty? Is that like a potato?
Well, you know, I'll just tell you what it says here. During the 1840s, the Irish suffered a massive black blight that rotted all the potatoes, their main food staple. Thousands starved or fled to America or England. This street song was popular then, as many young men turned from digging praties to digging for lumps of gold. A British law against using the name Ireland in any song, poetry, or prose resulted in the phrase Mershon Durkin, a secret word for the homeland. Why do you think that was, Mike?
I don't know.
A law forbidding the use of the name Ireland. Sounds like something the Ayatollah would come up with.
Could be. Could very well be something like that.
Imagine a world of Ayatollahs.
No, I'd rather not, actually.
Well, there must be. You know, I was watching Star Trek tonight, and, you know, they come up with these weird races sometimes. And I think, you know, they should consult with us sometimes so we can come up with some pretty interesting concepts and ideas. A world full of Khomeinis, you know, all competing against each other. You know, banning this, banning that, you know, proclaiming death for these people. Could be an interesting time of it.
Oh, it sounds like something you would have a lot of fun at.
Yes, a lot of fun indeed. not living through, I might add, but just sort of thinking of the idea.
Yeah.
What else do you think is a good piece by her?
Well, what else was on that Off to California album?
Off to California. Let's see, where is that? Album is off to somewhere. I don't know where it went. Hold on a minute.
Well, it didn't go off to California, I hope.
Oh, here it is. Okay, Londonderry on the Banks of the Boyle.
Uh-huh.
Hello, Hawaii, I think I mentioned.
Yes.
I Once Lived in Service. Murders on the Cumberland Plateau.
Now, that's a good one.
Yes, it is. Boys of the Old Brigade, recorded live. So there's a bunch there.
Yeah, well, hey, you could do that, or you could dig up Wanda Jean Wankford.
What do you mean, dig up Wanda Jean Wankford?
Well, don't we have an ID by her?
I don't know if it's around here. I know we have an ID by her.
Yeah.
That's Debbie McClatchy. That's her alter ego.
Her alter ego.
Yeah.
Just like Don Topeka is somebody else's.
Yes. And, Mike, are you growling?
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Here I am.
That was, Hello, Hawaii.
How are you?
Yeah. Can I help you?
Hello? Who is this?
Still directory, sir.
For where?
For Hawaii.
Oh, dear. I don't know how you popped in. We must have imagined you in. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Frank, how did you do that? We said, hello, Hawaii, how are you? And all of a sudden, there's a Hawaii operator there. I mean, that doesn't seem like it makes sense, does it?
Oh, the things you can do with 808.
Yes.
This phone system, you put me on hold for a second, and then I get linked up with someone across the sea.
It's 2 minutes to 11 o'clock, and halfway across the sea, Mike.
Halfway across the sea.
Yeah, in the middle of an island there. That's a good song, Debbie McClatchy, and she will be playing at Mount Sinai. A week from tonight. Do you know any more details about that, Mike?
No, not really.
Time, place, how to get information?
I think it's Mount Sinai Junior High School, but someone's going to be handing me a bulletin here in a moment.
Okay, it's not the Congressional Church, is it?
No, it's not the Congressional Church.
Okay. Just
it's
wanted
not
to make sure about
church.
That.
No, wait a minute. I think we're having a leaflet opened up here to the right page. Debbie McClatchy at the Mount Sinai Junior High School, 8 p.m., with potluck dinner at 6 p.m.
Potluck dinner, they're supposed to be good.
Yeah, they always are good. People bring their own goodies and stuff to eat and share with
other people. Oh, no, I thought it was the opening band potluck supper.
No,
okay.
That's not true.
Sorry, my mistake.
Yeah.
Well,
I must run.
You must run. Okay, well, Mike is, of course, as you know, a jogger. And it's time for him to get started, as it's almost 11 o'clock.
And it's almost time for us to say WUSB Stony Brook.
Well, you said it, so now it won't be time to say that for another hour.
Another whole hour.
Yeah. Our phone number here is what, Mike?
516-632-6901.
One. Yes, 632-6901. It's a call-in program, and that means that you, if you have a telephone, you can call us and speak, and your voice will be transmitted over the radio waves. It's amazing, but...
Call us from Hawaii. We'll give you a special discount rate.
Yeah, yeah. We've had one call from Hawaii already tonight, so let's see if we can keep that up. But if you're on Long Island or Connecticut, we'll accept that. Mike, I want to thank you for calling in.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
And for sharing all this with us and getting us totally off the subject.
That's okay.
Okay. You have a, I'm sure I'll speak to you before you move to Milwaukee, but you probably won't speak to the folks on the radio, so why don't you say something nice to them?
Well, thank you for listening. Isn't that enough?
Well, I don't know. I was hoping for something a bit more, I don't know, philosophic or something.
Okay. Thank you for listening for 12 years. Is that better?
No.
I have just the thing. Excuse me. Here we go. They don't make phones like this anymore.
Now that was priceless. That was priceless. Remember when we had the phone dropping contest on the air a few years ago?
That's right. We had folks call in with maybe we should do this now.
Well, you see, a few years have passed. Phones like you just mentioned don't sound like that anymore. You drop a plastic phone on the floor, it will sound like garbage.
Let's sponsor a little contest here. The person with the best sounding phone drop will win a dime. I will donate the prize.
Good. Okay. You'll be totally in charge of sending them the dime, too.
Right. I will do it.
Okay. but if you just want to talk and say something, that's okay, too. We won't hold that against you. 632-6901.
No. Well, I think you should start the phone dropping contest right now, actually. Call up. Put your say your name, your first name, and your town you're from, and you can drop it. And then... we will judge who the winner is and then ask you to call back and provide complete information on how we can get you your dime by return post.
How will we judge who the winners are since I'm the only person here?
No, I'll do it.
Oh, you'll do it?
Yeah.
So are you going to tell me who the winner is?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I will call you back in 5 minutes.
Assuming anybody is adventurous enough to do this.
Of course. Listen to the phones. They're lighting up. They're ringing off the hook.
They're lighting up like a phone lighting up, yes.
Yes.
Amazing. Well, Mike, why don't you once again provide us with the basis, the kind of medium line of how we'll be judging this, and drop your phone one more time. And then we'll
okay. This is the standard coming up. If you can do better, please give us a call now at 516-632-6901.
What do you think it is about the sound of a dropping phone that appeals to people so much?
You know, I never really could figure that out myself. It's just the resonance, the clarity, the brilliance of tone that really do make this the medium that it is.
It's a beautiful sound, that bung-da-bung-da-bung, you know?
Yeah, that's right. You can almost do it without even having a phone handy.
Right. I'm very good at imitating a phone dropping, but...
See,
you're good at it, too.
I've practiced.
Okay, Mike. Well, thank you very much for calling. Good luck in Milwaukee, and maybe we'll talk to you later on.
I will call you back on this line after I listen to all these folks that are going to call in.
Okay.
If any of them sound good enough to be declared a winner.
Why don't you give the phone number one more time, then we'll go to some calls.
516-632-6901 for the Great Phone Dropping Contest of 1989.
Okay.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Okay.
And that was Mike Juhas here on WUSB. Our phone number is 632-6901 if you want to participate in this, or if you just want to call up and say something else, that's fine, too. 516 area code. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
All right, I haven't listened to your show for an awful long time.
Really?
It seems that way.
Uh-huh. An awful long time tonight or an awful long time over the years?
Well, over, I would say, the last 10 or 12 months or so.
Really? Wow.
I just kind of bumped into it by accident.
Uh-huh.
I've been listening to it ever since, or at least when I'm home on Saturday nights.
That's how most people find things on the radio. They bump into them by accident. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, you know, I figure what's on the low end of the dial, right?
Yeah, in more ways than one. No, only kidding. But where are you calling from?
Northport.
Northport, huh?
Yeah, I never talked to you before. I figure tonight you look pretty desperate. She's pretty slow tonight.
Do I sound desperate?
No, but you talk about phone dropping.
Well, I didn't bring it up, did I? I mean, Mike brought that up.
I'd love to drop my phone for you.
Okay, well, drop your phone and then you can talk again.
Okay, well, do I drop the handle or drop the phone?
No, don't drop the whole phone, but drop the mouthpiece. But if you have a one-piece phone, yes, you'd have to drop the whole thing.
One-piece, one of those old AT&T jobs.
Oh, then you should be up there. That should be a pretty good sound. Let's see what you get.
This is off a desk and see what happens, all right?
Off the desk, onto the floor?
Yep, we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Did that sound like a large crash? It wasn't much of a phone drop, was it?
Well, it didn't sound quite as clear as Mike's. Okay, I'll give you a little secret here. I don't know if I'm supposed to do this, if this will void the contest, but if you kind of, you take the cord and you kind of dangle the handset and sort of like bounce it like you would a slinky or a yo-yo or something and make sure it hits the phone the floor each time.
Let's try that one.
Oh.
No.
That was music to my ears. That's how you do it.
The knocking on the door from my part.
Wow. Yes. Well, you'd have to hear it to appreciate it.
Oh, I hope it sounded wonderful for your listeners.
I'm sure there's people all over Long Island now rolling on the floor.
With my phone. Oh, what's on my mind, I'll tell you. I believe with the charge for movies these days, that's been bothering me.
Oh, isn't that something?
It's ridiculous.
What's it up to now?
Like $6.
$6. Well, if you go into the city, it's $7.
$7 or $8.
I haven't been to an $8 film yet. I don't know if I ever will, but it's a bit much to see something once, you know?
But for the amount of entertainment on Long Island, it draws a mighty big crowd.
Uh-huh.
And they're really getting a lot of money for that.
Yeah.
I really think that maybe we should do some kind of boycott or something in this old rent movies. For $1.50 and invite 20 friends.
And the size of the screens in these multiplex with, 25 theaters in them isn't much bigger than your TV set now.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So you wouldn't really be missing all that much, and if you can get a bunch of friends over, you probably have more people than are in the theater anyway, since every time I go to see a film, it's practically nobody is there.
And now they're showing all these 20-minute previews.
Uh-huh. And I heard that there are commercials, too, sometimes. Never seen a commercial, but I've heard they sometimes have them.
Slides for things. I've never seen a full-length commercial.
Uh-huh. You know what also gets me kind of riled is when you watch a film, you see all these products you never used to see before, and you know that they paid to be in the film.
Do they pay for it?
Sure. You see Coca-Cola. I mean, you show me one film where they show both Coke and Pepsi, and then I'll believe that they don't pay to be in there.
And now they're getting the close-ups with it, too.
Yeah, and they focus on it for a while, you know. It's pretty sick, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, like I said this once before in this show. If somebody can say, I think Coca-Cola really tastes like crap, you know, in a film. If they can say that, then I will believe that Coke is not putting any money in. And in fact, there are no commercials in that film. Now, you should be allowed to do that. In a film, because that's an independent expression, you know, a form of art. You should be able to say something like that. But if you can only say, oh, that tastes great or something, or show it, then obviously we know who's controlling it.
Well, can you say a company's name without their permission?
I don't know. So,
you were to start bad-mouthing companies' names in your show, would you get some kind of trouble for that?
Well, I mean, something like Coke is such a main focus of society anyway. You know, it's like saying you don't like rainy days almost,
mm-hmm.
You see. And if they're focusing on, a bottle of Coke or something in a film, do they have to get the company's permission to be able to do that, whether they say anything about it or not?
Well, the big thing started, I guess, with they brought up E.T. with the M&M's.
Tell me about that.
I remember that M&M's didn't want their product sponsored, so Reese's Pieces moved in.
Uh-huh.
That's when I guess everyone started to realize all these little side advertisements in their movies. And now it's just, there's more advertisements in the movie than the movie.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, everywhere we go, there's advertisements, everywhere.
What about the fact that movies are now in the theater for about a month and a half, and then they're on videotape.
Yeah, theaters are fast becoming, very temporary forms of seeing a film.
Well, all this brought this up. I was waiting in line for Joan's Beach.
Uh-huh.
Theater tickets this morning, And I was thinking, man, what society has on entertainment these days.
So did Elvis sell out or what?
Oh, I don't know. But we were there from about 6 to 1.
Uh-huh.
It was just a mob scene.
Did you get tickets?
Yeah, we got tickets. Uh-huh. We have to be number 2,000.
Uh-huh.
But we met someone online in the 100s, and that still took about 4 or 5 hours. It's just, I don't know if it's the way they're selling it, but to wait outside for 5 hours to get tickets for a show is also a ridiculous thing.
It's also a tradition.
Yeah, it maybe shows how dedicated we really are.
Yes, you will feel compelled to enjoy yourself now.
Oh, I better.
So, and you also won't forget to go, which is always a problem. Well, anyway, thanks so much for calling.
So I hope my phone drop improved your show.
Well, that's we'll see what Mike says about it, because he's the final judge.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Thanks for calling. 632-6901, that's our telephone number. Area code 516. It's 10 minutes after 11 o'clock, and, well, we still haven't taken a look at the news, so why don't we very quickly do that. If we can find it. There it is. Boy, this teletype is light. You can barely see it. All right, I'll try. I'll try my best. President Bush says he wants to win what he calls the peace war with Gorbachev. He's challenging the Soviet leader to make good on his promise to reduce short-range nuclear weapons. In encouraging the U.S. to participate in short-range nuclear weapons reduction talks, Gorbachev has announced that the Kremlin will remove 500 of the missiles from Eastern Europe. Hopefully not by firing them into Western Europe, but we'll see what he means by that. The U.S. opposes such talks. Instead, it wants to upgrade its stock of short-range missiles, a stance that's causing friction in the NATO alliance. It's not meeting with approval from the Soviet Union either. Soviet Foreign Minister Edvard Shevardnadze, well, I'm sure I pronounced his name wrong, says the Kremlin will consider breaking the intermediate-range nuclear weapons treaty if NATO upgrades the short-range weapons. Demonstrators on both sides of the abortion issue took to the streets of several cities today. Thousands rallied for abortion rights at the state capitol in St. Paul, Minnesota. More than 500 people were arrested in anti-abortion demonstrations in the Chicago, Pittsburgh, and San Francisco areas. An 8-member international team is reported to be within a day's walk of the North Pole. The group began its 620-mile journey on March 20th to draw attention to global pollution. Along the way, team members have conducted pollution tests to publicize the dangers of the greenhouse effect. And finally, anti-drug lectures are planned for a New York City kindergarten class. The reason? Three youngsters were found playing with an envelope of cocaine. No kidding. Authorities say one of the 5-year-olds apparently brought the white powder to the Harlem school on Thursday. Pretty amazing, isn't it? And now for a recap of the news.
A-U-O-I-A-O-A-O-A acute. 2-U-degree, O-gram. 2-degree, degree, O-E, plus or minus. Degree.
Okay, we don't know what he's talking about, but hopefully he's not permanently damaged there. Let me punch in the appropriate access code and see if we can recover whatever he's trying to say. It's 12 minutes after 11 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. Our phone number is 632-6901.
Associated Press News Diabetes Report of me. 13 at 1902.
This is the AP News Digest. I'm Hugh Terry.
And I'm Beautiful Betty.
Here are the top stories at this hour.
Panama crisis, period.
Bush calls on people of Panama to oust Noriega and his thugs.
Can Noriega survive his own MISTAKES? PANAMACITY Panama_General Manuel Antonio Noriega has survived U.S. sanctions, drug indictments, and years of opposition demonstrations. The question of the hour has become, can he survive his own mistakes? Slug AM-Panama-Noriega. sent as A0531. AP News Analysis by Richard H. E. R. V. S. E. L. D. E. R. Period with underscore AM dash Panama from PANAMACITY. Panama, newly arrived American troops increased security at Ballard Air Force Base and other installations Saturday under the roar of military jets bringing in more men and supplies. Lesser photos, P, period, A, period, N, 5, military ambulance unloaded from cargo plane, P, period, A, period, N, 6, military police check vehicles, P, period, A, period, N, 7, resident scrapes campaign posters from wall and home. Underscore AM-US troops-Panama from FORTPOLK, law, more than 700 soldiers begin leaving this base for Panama. Underscore AM-code names. From WASHINGTON, Nimrod Dancer, the name of the operation that dispatched 2,000 U.S. combat troops to Panama, his latest in list of fanciful and sometimes incongruous code names used by the Pentagon. Underscore AM-Panama-Carter, from APLANTA. Jimmy Carter's role in the Panamanian election crisis has thrust him back onto the international stage, period. Also AM-Bush-Panama from WASHINGTON. President Bush has been drifting away from the go-it-alone Latin American policies favored by the previous administration, and his cautious approach was underscored last week in addressing the crisis in Panama. News analysis by George G. E. D. D. A. Period. Period.
East-West. Period.
President reacts for first time to Soviet offer.
U.S.-Soviet relationship overshadowed by Gorbachev drive.
Shevardnadze turns up heat on short-range missile issue.
We'll be back with more news. Until then, this is Huge Harry.
And Beautiful Betty, reporting on the Burphone News.
And news test.
You have reached the suicide hotline. Everyone is busy at the moment. Please hang on.
Holding hands in the moonlight, there was silence between them. So profound was their love for each other, they needed no words to express it. And so they sat in silence.
Reason for being. Again, there was silence.
Hello. I want to do that.
I want to go.
I have to go pee. Are you happy?
I don't want to go down.
I don't want to take a nap.
I don't want to take a nap.
Okay. I'm happy.
I'm happy.
I don't want to eat.
Okay.
You were mean to me. Are you sad?
Are you sad?
I want to go to school.
I want to play.
I want to play.
I'm sad. You were mean to me. I want to watch a movie.
I want to take a nap.
I want to do that.
I want to talk on the phone.
I want to go to Peter's house.
I want to talk on the phone.
I want you to read me a story.
I'm sad.
I'm happy.
I want to go down.
I want to go down.
Okay.
I'm hungry.
I want to talk on the phone.
I like that.
I'm happy.
I'm sad. I don't want to do that.
I don't want to go to school.
I don't want to go home.
I have to go pee.
Are you happy?
Are you happy?
Are you happy? Are you sad?
I'm so tired.
Are you sad?
I want to go to Peter's house.
I'm hungry.
I'm hungry.
I'm sad.
I'm sad.
I want to eat.
I want to play.
Are you happy?
Are you happy?
I don't want to go down.
I don't want to watch a movie. I'm sad.
I like that.
I'm hungry.
I don't want to take a nap. I'm hungry.
Okay, okay.
I'm happy.
I'm sad.
Are you sad?
Are you happy?
I'm so tired.
I like that.
I'm sad.
I'm sad.
I don't want to pee.
I don't want to play.
I don't want to talk on the phone.
Okay.
Are you happy?
I want to go home. I want to watch a movie.
I want to pee.
I want you to read me a story.
I can do it for myself.
I'm happy. I'm happy.
I don't want to eat.
I don't want to go to Peter's house. I don't want to play.
I'm happy.
I don't want to go to school.
Are you happy?
I don't want to play.
I don't want to do that.
I don't want to watch a movie.
Okay, okay, okay.
Are you happy?
I want to go down.
I want to go.
Okay, you were mean to me.
I want to take a nap.
I want to go to Peter's house.
I want to go to school.
I can do it for myself.
I don't want to go down.
I don't want to eat. I don't want to go to school.
I can do it for myself.
I don't want to go.
I'm so tired.
Are you happy?
Are you happy?
I want to take a nap.
I want to go.
You were mean to me. I'm sad.
I'm happy.
I want to go to school.
I can do it for myself.
Are you sad?
I don't want to talk on the phone.
I don't want to go to school.
I don't want to talk on the phone.
I'm so tired.
I want you to read me a story.
Are you happy?
I'm sad.
I'm sad. I want you to read me a story.
I don't want to watch a movie.
I have put no peace.
Are you sad?
You will read to me.
Are you sad?
It's estimated that those who are able to listen to the entire piece that you just heard would make very good parents. It's something that the Board of Education puts out. Our phone number is 632-6901, area code 516. We'll be taking your phone calls in just a moment. Last thing, though, before we do, another example of our technology at work. What do you think of automated directory assistance? I mean, really automated.
Please dial last name, star, then first name, star.
Okay, we're going to enter John Smith. I'm not going to tell you what city this is. Star, and then John. Star. Wonder if it heard me. I'm going to try connecting to that again. It's possible that our nice new phone system here doesn't produce the tones long enough for it to be heard. So let's give it another try. Our number again, 632-6901. Okay, he's broken. Hold on. Okay, let's try it one more time. Okay, well, while he's recuperating from whatever's going on with him, we'll take some phone calls, and we'll give that another try later on. 632-6901, area code 516. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hello, Eric, it's Bill again.
Hi, Bill.
Two things. Firstly, the glass thing was possibly the ugliest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
What glass thing?
With the parents.
Well, actually, maybe I don't want to give credit to Philip Glass. That was a phone call we made from here in the studio. We were playing Philip Glass in the background, but no, that was done live from here in the studio.
Okay, the other thing, of course, is that I wanted to drop my phone. My roommate also wanted to drop the phone, but I'm dropping the phone to demonstrate once again the inferiority of this new phone system. My roommate just wants to win a dime.
Okay, so you're going to drop a Roam phone, and we'll hear how that does not sound like an AT&T.
You ready?
Go ahead.
Okay.
That was painful to listen to.
Yes, rather. Okay, now I'm going to give the phone to my roommate and get out of the way.
Okay.
And my roommate is shy and he doesn't want to talk to you.
Well, I would imagine why he would be shy after that performance there. That's something. I'm sure Mike will have a couple of key words to say about that.
Yes, but can we air them?
No, but they'll be off air. Don't worry about that.
Well, this is good.
Thanks for your input.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
The end of the world as we know it.
Oh, with the speakerphone. Come on.
I gotta use the speakerphone.
Don't use the speakerphone. Use the real phone. We can't hear you.
This is terrible. I have to pick... You know, I dropped the phone once for you guys.
Uh-huh. You once walked outside with a cordless phone in your shorts in the middle of winter, I believe, right?
Yeah. Now can you hear me?
You're still on the speakerphone.
How's that?
It sounds like you're on Pluto now.
Pluto?
Well, what kind of phone is this?
I left it out in the rain when I worked on the car. Wait a minute. I haven't been on in a while. I have to use the speakerphone.
Now you sound like you're on a CB.
Yeah, well, you know, this is the latest technology.
Yeah, and somehow we seem to be abusing it.
I have to make a comment about one of the earlier callers.
Go ahead.
About the movie thing.
Go ahead.
If he's listening, I've been boycotting the movies now for quite a while because I remember when it was like $4 or something, or $4.50. Then they started inching it up to like $4.60, and then all of a sudden they started like $1. And then I said, look, that's enough. It is not worth $6 to see any movie that's been coming out. No. But,
uh-huh.
I mean, you know, there are people out here who are boycotting the movies. Enough is enough. $6? I mean, don't you think that's too much?
Yeah, I guess so.
Hey, you know, this program hit an all-time high today. I mean, you're living up to your name today. I mean, Eric, you're finally doing it.
Well, it's good when you get complimented for being brain damaged, but...
Because this show, I mean, you know... I mean, this is brain damage. You've got to do this kind of stuff on this program if you're going to call it brain damage. You understand what I'm saying?
It makes sense, yes. It makes...
This is the kind of stuff that I expect.
Uh-huh.
But not, you know... I expect this kind of phone dropping. I expect to hear Mr. Radio call without being hung up on. You know, these kind of things are important. This is brain damage. I mean, if you're going to hang up on Mr. Radio and stuff, then call it straight talk and boring.
Uh-huh.
But you hit an all-time high today with the phone dropping. But I can't do that anymore, because last time I did that, I had to take the phone to the shop. A little piece inside fell out.
Well, you see, you've demonstrated very well what it's come to. Back in the 60s, you could throw your phone out the window. And
yeah, I know, you're right. And then that other guy was that last caller was banging the wrong phone. Hey, that's my tax money he's hitting around there. Now, you knocked that off over there, buddy. I paid for that phone.
Can you imagine if it spread around campus and everybody started whacking their Rome phones into the wall and throwing them out the windows as sort of
God.
A celebration of the end of school?
You know, the thing of it is with them Rome phones.
Yeah.
I remember when we had the old black phone in there.
Uh-huh.
Man, that thing was tough. You could do anything to that phone.
Well, now, students never had... They had to bring their own phones, right? Or they had to rent
the phone. Well, no, the old phones that we used to have in the shop, we had the old black phone.
Uh-huh.
And you could hear that thing ring down the hall. You could drop it on the floor and nothing would happen to it. But the ROM phone, it can't take it.
Yeah.
That thing just can't take it.
It's can't just, take the heat.
The more things get better, the worse they get. I'm trying to say.
No, I know what you're trying to say. In some ways, they get worse as things get better, yes.
What else? You know, I haven't called in a while. I've been out.
I haven't even
listened to the program. What have I been missing?
Not a whole lot, I don't think.
I've been out. I've been in the bar scene.
We talked to some operators in Australia last week, and we're trying to make a phone call to Albania, and we came as close as we possibly could last week.
My gosh.
Yeah, we're ready for the next step, though, so...
But, I mean, you're hitting an all-time high with the phone dropping. I guess I'll just have to drop my phone again.
I guess so. It's worth the sacrifice, don't you think?
I'm going to have to do it. But it's not going to sound good, because there's something wrong with the sound in it.
Uh-huh.
I left it out in the rain. But I'll just have to drop it a few inches.
What was your phone doing outside anyway?
I redid the front end on the car, the front suspension.
Uh-huh.
I had to have the phone out there.
Why don't you just...
Trans-American Corvette.
Excuse me, can I ask a question? Why don't you just get a cellular phone that stays inside your car?
Yeah, but that would be vain. If people saw that in the car, the car I drive is vain enough as it is.
Yes, what kind of car is that?
It's a Corvette.
Uh-huh, and you say having a cellular phone would be vain, I believe.
It's think that there would be a bit much. People would say, oh, this guy's really going too far.
Uh-huh. Well, why don't you test it out with one of those fake cellular phones, you know, that yuppies get?
I'll have to do that.
Yeah.
And I'll even pick it up and make believe I'm talking into it. Don't you think that would be great?
I don't think you can detach it from the dashboard, but I might be wrong on that.
Even make believe I dialed brain damage to make it more fun.
Okay, drop your phone.
Here we go. Are you ready?
Ready.
Was that any good?
That was it?
Wait a minute, I'll drop it off. Wait a minute, I got something more exciting. Wait a minute. There, how's that?
It doesn't sound like you're dropping your phone. It sounds like you're dropping something else and holding your phone.
Yeah, now I busted the antenna on it. Ah! But any more of this stuff for this program anymore, that's it. Now I got to get another tube of crazy glue. The kind of things that... This is a destructive program. Destructive.
Yes, and we're not in any way endorsing crazy glue as something that reinforces destructive things.
This program is destructive, Eric. I mean, no more brain damage. Destructive.
Well, thanks for calling and for
a lot of fun.
Trying to drop your phone.
Now, the next guy who calls has to drop his phone. I did it.
Yeah. Well, don't scare away those people who have more solid phones than you.
All right, it was fun. Bye.
Okay,
now.
See ya. That's the spirit, you know? That's the spirit we want to get into here. You know, so you waste a little bit of money dropping your phone on the floor and breaking it. That's you know, hell, it's radio. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hello, how are you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Pretty well. I was wondering if you could guess what I'm going to bang. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Ooh. Can you guess what that was?
Well, it sounds like a musical instrument of some sort, but I would imagine it probably wasn't.
Well, it was a musical instrument.
It was a musical instrument.
Fact is, 4 out of 5 dentists personally recommend musical instruments for their patients who chew gum. I was wondering if I could read some...
Battle of Philip Glass here?
Yeah, actually.
Okay,
I was wondering if
Philip
I could
Glass
read some things that were put into a lease for an apartment that I just rented.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Supposedly, every month, the landlord comes in, and if there's a failure to remove personal property or debris from my storage bins, he's going to charge me
$20.
$20. And, could I just ask you a question?
Sure.
I've been noticing lately that every time I go into the bathroom to bathe, there's a rustling noise outside my window. Tonight I went to close the curtains, and I caught sight of my husband out there. He's been hiding in the bushes, peeking in at me. What do you think I should do?
You have a bathroom window, I assume.
Excuse me?
You have a bathroom window, I assume.
Yes.
Okay, so we eliminate any kind of mechanical fault.
No.
So you are looking outside your bathroom window and seeing your husband spying in on you through the bathroom window.
Right.
Well, you could take your baths in another apartment.
Well, certain sex therapists have suggested that I use the second-story bathroom, but we don't have a second-story bathroom.
Well, then that would make that a bit difficult. You don't have to bathe quite as often, I suppose.
Well, I was thinking of that.
Yeah. You know, and that way, assuming that you see your husband on a regular basis, it hurts him in two different ways. You understand?
That's true.
Yeah. Are there any other problems we can help you with?
Well, I'm compiling a book. The book is,
I was looking for that record. That's the record I wanted to play, and I couldn't find it. Go ahead.
Well, I'm trying to compile a book of witty anecdotes involving sushi.
Witty anecdotes concerning sushi?
Yes.
Well, I couldn't help you there.
Oh.
There's nothing at all funny about sushi in my life.
Oh, would you like to hear a funny sushi story?
Sure, it might be a start for me.
Okay, well, I don't know if it's necessarily funny, but it's witty.
Okay.
I had a friend in Albany, and she bought all this fish for sushi, and she cut it up, and she didn't cook it, and she had this party, and she invited all of her friends over for sushi.
Wow, that's good.
Isn't that?
Yeah.
Cosmopolitan? But
that?
Anyway.
Go ahead.
She did this, and they were eating the sushi, and they had pretty much finished approximately 65% of the sushi, and suddenly they noticed there were worms crawling all over the sushi. It was horrible.
65%?
65%.
Okay.
They called poison control, and it turns out that most fish that we eat actually have worms in them. It's just that when you cook them, the worms are killed. And that sushi chefs are specially trained to flick worms off of fish, and supposedly when you enter a sushi restaurant, the kitchen has worms crawling all over the floor from the fish. The worms have actually flicked off the fish.
What kind of worms are these?
Well, actually, they have leeches that attach themselves to the inside of the gills of the fish, but they also have internal parasites, worms that are about an inch to an inch and a half long. My friend showed me it. She had it in a jar.
She saved one?
Yes.
Now, let me ask you this. You have this worm that was living inside a fish, right? And you eat the fish, and consequently you eat the worm, too. Well, since the fish is inside you, and since being inside you must be similar to being inside the fish, don't you then yourself have worms inside you that are alive?
Mm-hmm.
Forever?
You ever read Chaos by James Gleick?
Yeah.
I think he talks about something like that in, like, the third... No.
So what we're driving at here is that it's possible that people that like sushi are infested with worms.
Why?
Well, because of reasons that we just went over here. If you ingest worms and they like being inside things that are living, and you are a thing that is living and you've ingested them, they'll be quite happy there.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Frightening thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it possible? Okay, here's my question.
Okay.
Since people don't like to cook sushi, because obviously it wouldn't be sushi if it was cooked, right?
Huh?
Perhaps it's possible to cook the worms only.
Hey!
What do you think?
That's right.
Then you have sushi, and you can put in little tiny letters next to it, with cooked worms.
Wow. Well, actually, what you could do is...
And if somebody says, yeah, I don't want cooked worms, you say, well, do you want them live and raw? And they'll say no, then this is the other way you can have them.
Well,
they'll probably go for chicken McNuggets or something.
Well, chicken McWorms?
I mean, you know, the number of worms that are around is a staggering number. For every person alive, there's something on the order of 50,000 worms. I don't know if you knew that.
Actually, I think it's more than that. I think in one square acre, there are 24 million worms. In one square, I'm sorry, it's one cubic acre of land.
Well, yes, but you're talking about Long Island land, which is worm-infested, but go to Arizona, and the average is only about 5 worms per square mile.
Right, that's true, of course, but, you know, when you take rainfall into consideration, I suppose it has a lot to do with the topology and the condition of the soil and other things like that.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever heard No Pussyfooting by Brian Eno and Robert Fripp?
I've heard of them, but I don't know that particular track.
Oh. This is it.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, are you a radio station?
Excuse me?
Are you a radio station?
No, I'm not. Are you a radio station?
Yes, I'm a radio station, but I was just wondering if you were another radio station that might have somehow come across us. It happens sometimes.
It does?
Yeah, because here you are, you're playing all these songs, and you're doing little raps, and you sound like a radio station.
Really?
Yeah. As long as you're a non-commercial radio station, I guess that's okay.
Oh, I am a commercial radio station.
Oh, well, then hopefully we'll, you know.
Know that Macy's television you bought a while ago?
That what?
The Macy's television you purchased a while ago.
I didn't purchase a Macy's television. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, the Macy's television. The reason we're calling you back, actually, is because we wanted to offer you a special 2-year warranty. We cover parts and labor for everything on your TV. We also, it's a carry-in service warranty, which means that if anything goes wrong, you simply give us a call on the phone, and we'll come into home to repair the set. We send the Macy's task force in, and no matter what goes wrong, we will repair the set for you.
With anything on my TV?
Anything on your TV.
Including the penguin?
No.
No? I don't know. I have a better contract.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
But I've never heard of anybody who covers a penguin.
Well, you don't know the people that I know. Anyway, we're going to get to some more calls.
Okay.
I want to thank you for all of your...
Once more?
What's that?
Can I drop my phone?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. How was that?
That was it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks for doing that.
Bye.
Bye. Boy. 632-6901. We're going to go to the calls that are here. We have quite a few of them, but right before we do that, I want to see if Hal 9000 has gotten over his cold or whatever the hell is wrong with him. I'd like to demonstrate this directory assistance thing. I have a feeling I'm going to be talking about it instead of showing it to you.
Please dial last name, star, then first name, star.
Okay, let's try this again. John Smith. Well, confound it all. These phones don't work. These stupid phones on campus, they don't send the touch tones for long enough so that the computer on the other end can hear you. There's nothing I can do. Well, okay, this is what the service does. I feel really silly describing it, but I guess I have to. You enter the name of the person that you're trying to find the number of, and then it will say how many of them there are, give you the phone numbers and the addresses for all of them, and then allow you the option of pressing a button and connecting to them. That's right. It'll give the phone number and say, do you want to connect to this phone number? And if you do, it connects you. It's amazing. And I have a feeling that's going to be something that that will be prevalent throughout our society in the years to come. Yes, 632-6901 is our phone number. And as a consolation prize, let's see if we can hear Today in History. It doesn't require any interaction, so we might be able to get something through this. Well, today was a very dull day. Okay, he's going crazy again. Nervous breakdown.
Plus or minus 2. Hey.
Oh, boy. Enough of that. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Steve.
Hi, Steve.
I think that our technology would give us callers something more to listen to than a repetitive ring.
Yeah.
It isn't even one of those high-tech rings that you hear on the on the electric phones.
Well,
without the ringers.
This is my prediction. My prediction is that they will somehow figure out how to make advertisements come across between the rings. Already, they're experimenting with that. If you call directory assistance and you use AT&T, it somehow knows that you've used AT&T, and it rings and says, thank you for using AT&T, and then rings again, and the person picks up.
Yeah, well, that seems to be what it's coming down to. You mentioned the movies before.
Uh-huh.
I haven't gone to a movie in a while, and just price, and it's, actually the last one I went to was about 3 weeks ago. I saw Rain Man, it wasn't too bad.
Uh-huh.
But, I was listening to, the previous caller about the sushi. I am I'm half Japanese, and I've eaten sushi, plenty of times, and, Just a note of caution. Most fish with worms in it tends to be freshwater type, like trout or carp, whatever freshwater type fish. And I've never eaten freshwater fish sushi. I've always eaten saltwater sushi, which has considerably less worms, such as salmon, because of these. Salt water prevents interaction, the organisms from being transferred from one fish to another.
Okay.
So for all you sushi eaters out there, just a word of caution, when you go to your nearest sushi bar, always order salmon or some nice saltwater fish, and that'll keep your sushi, for the most part, worm-free.
For the most part, but there is a possibility there will be a worm or two in there.
Yeah, there's nothing as perfect. I've yet to have a worm attack.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, I don't know if worms are necessarily bad for you. They might be very high in protein, for all I know.
That's true, but you never know. You could come across a tapeworm every now and then, or whatever it may be.
Well, I don't know about tapeworms, but I mean, you know, birds eat worms. You've heard the expression "healthy as a bird." I'm sure we've all heard that.
Sure.
Actually, no, I haven't heard that. But you know, birds are healthy for the most part. I've never seen a bird with, you know, limping or anything like that. I mean, there's worse things you can eat, and probably you know, they're the things that are advertised. And you know, I don't want to name names because I'll get in a lot of trouble if
and
I do.
Another interesting thing that I noted was my father came home today with two quarts cans of milk that he got from, well, I don't know, I shouldn't mention the price. But anyway, the milk was unusually low priced, and as a result, despite the fact that the date on the milk is not for another week, I believe it was May 19th, today's so what, the 13th?
Yeah.
The milk was sour, so.
The milk was sour before you even brought it into the house, huh?
That's right. So you get what you pay for.
You got to be careful.
Got to be careful. But enough of this food business. It kind of gets you nauseous after a while.
Yes, it certainly does.
Eating a late night snack. But I'm a high school student in Ward, Melville. I'm in Stony Brook, not far away.
Uh-huh. Well, if you're in Ward Melville High School now, you're probably breaking and entering.
I'm a student at Ward Melville. I don't know if I said in or at.
Uh-huh. I think you said in.
I see. Well,
but you're not there now, I assume.
That one. I'm at home.
Oh, okay. Let's save us a phone call then.
Yes.
Okay. Well, are you happy in high school?
Oh, relatively. I feel as if I'm a bit restrained as far as freedom is concerned, despite the fact that Ward Melville for a high school is a very free atmosphere.
Uh-huh.
In Kansas. I get pretty bored with the classes and everything. Most of my classes seem to me are pretty mechanical.
Uh-huh.
Situations where you just regurgitate the information. And if you regurgitate enough of it, you get an A+. And if you don't, you get something less than that.
I think you figured out the system. Yes, that's exactly what it is. Are there any classes that you think are worth going to?
Yeah, a few of them. I'm interested in science and things, and I'm taking one class, which we do various, we do like competitions and things, and that's fun. But as far as, I find I have a good time at Stony Brook. I'm working with the professor there. And I like your computer science center. That's a real nice place to be.
Uh-huh.
It's got those Sun microsystems are really pretty awesome. Those are true examples of high technology, I must say.
Uh-huh.
I think they could integrate more of that into our phones and give us better sound rather than these operators which you've been talking to.
Yes, well, it's all part of a stepping stone, you know?
Yeah. I remember a few years ago, the Tandy had, with their wonderful computers, they had a program called Abuse, where you would sit there and exchange words with a talking computer. And I believe that the voice tonal quality has not improved much since then, and that was about 7 years ago. So.
Yeah, some things are moving slowly.
For me, the year is I've got a bit left to it. I got about a month and a half or so, but I too am feeling the solemnness of tests, and that I have AP tests coming. I've got one on Monday and another one on Friday, and I don't know when I guess in high school you're more detached from your parents, but when you're at home. Your parents tend to put a lot more pressure on you, a lot more expectations.
It's the old getting into college thing, you know. Have you gone through that yet, or is that still ahead?
I'm a junior, so I'm right in the middle of it.
Yeah, that's that can be rough.
Yeah, I took my SATs a week and a half ago or so.
Uh-huh.
This last Saturday.
Aren't they a lot of fun?
It wasn't too bad, but not something you enjoy doing on a Saturday morning.
No, you know, what bothers me the most about SATs, and I don't think this has changed, you never see your test. You never actually see what you got wrong.
Yeah.
And so how do you know that they didn't make a mistake somewhere along the line, you know?
I think that somebody sees them. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure somebody sees them, but how do you know that your test is the one that got...
The PSAT, and I haven't seen a mistake yet. Oh, and the other thing is, they do have old SAT tests.
Right, but no, that's not what I mean. I don't mean, you know...
Or whether they made a mistake on your test?
Right, whether they made a mistake and entered the wrong grade, you see.
That's
always possible. So, you know, I would kind of like to get the actual...
That's why you should always take them more than once if you didn't get a good one. that improves your chances of screwing up by 1/4.
Or if you copy directly off the person next to you, you both should get the same grade. And if you don't, something is wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
I heard about one guy who was copying off someone else, and then in the middle of the test, he realized that he had a different test.
That's pretty funny.
In fact, I remember I overheard a teacher talking about, this is my chemistry teacher in one of his classes, and there were two students one was copying off the other somehow. He couldn't figure out how, but he obviously knew that they were cheating. So he gave them different tests, and one kid had an 88, the other kid had a 22.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know if they add up to 100. I don't know if that's a, I guess that makes sense, because...
Well, it actually adds up to 110, but I guess it sort of makes sense somehow.
Different tests. But, so that was an interesting idea. So I don't see it's copying gets you very far, because sooner or later you're going to find yourself in a real job where you can't copy off of someone else.
Right, yes. I certainly agree with that.
Interestingly enough, though, I was reading in Compute Magazine, and as a little wit, they had this item on how to get by as a computer programmer without actually knowing how to program, and they gave you various tips like how to look like a programmer, such as having a Hewlett-Packard calculator and wearing a pocket protector. And the most interesting part about it was the fact that if you get a computer and then you open it up and leave a soldering iron and a voltmeter around, and that way you can always say that your computer isn't working.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you can get very far that way.
Well, some people might be able to get further than others.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we've got about 5 minutes left. I want to take a couple more calls.
All right. Well, I thank you for your time.
Thanks for calling. Good luck in high school and with all
those
things.
Absolutely. It's a great show.
Okay. Keep listening and spread the word.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 632-6901, area code 516. That's our telephone number if you want to call up and share some of what's going on in your life. I want to just try sharing one more thing from my friend the computer. I'm not going to tell you what it is in case it doesn't work.
Hi, I'm your Burbell Bellhop. I'll help you find a room. First, I'll need to know where you are now. Are you in Building 2 at MRE? Enter 1 for yes. Or 0 for no. Are you at the garden desk on the first floor? Enter 1 for yes, or 0 for no. Are you in one of the elevator lobbies? Enter 1 for yes, or 0 for no.
Yes.
What floor are you on? Use 0 for the basement.
I'm in the basement.
Now I need to know where you want to go. Enter the 5-character room number.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Use the 1 button. I don't understand that.
Oh.
Enter the 5-character room number. For Q, use the 1 button. Gee, I don't know that room. Was that letter J, K, or L? Use 1 for J, 2 for K, or 3 for L.
K.
Okay. You're at 2X0, and you want to go to 2K632. 2K632 is on the long hall on the right of the green wing. Here's your directions to get there. Ah, oops. I guess I don't know that part of the building yet. But here's how I would find it. First, go out in the hall. Walk to the elevator lobby. find an elevator with the green stripe over it and take it up 6 floors. Take a left out of the elevator and then another left. Go to the T intersection. Turn away from the central hall. The room you want is on the hall that crosses in front of you. Walk away from the elevators until you hit it. If that doesn't work, look around for signs and follow them. Now that I've helped you, we get to the best part. Enter 1 for a small tip and 9 for a large gratuity.
Large gratuity.
Whoa! Thanks. Goodbye.
Okay, well, their sense of humor still needs to be developed a little bit, but as you can see, these things can be used for all kinds of neat purposes. Yes, now we're going to take one or two more calls really quickly, and if Mike Juhans is listening, I would advise him to please call on the Tangerine line with the results of the contest. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Eric!
Yes.
No, Eric.
Yes.
Sammy! How you doing?
It's not Sammy.
It's a Sammy, man.
No.
I haven't called you in a long time, and you got all your phones are hard to get through on the phone.
Well, they are hard to get through on the phones. Yes, that's because I don't know why that is.
Hell, you got people on the phone dropping the phone, throwing the phone on the floor, and stuff like that. Listening all night, a very terrible show.
Uh-huh.
That's my opinion.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
But I listen not the same. Hey, what does this say? Healthy like a bird. What's that mean? I don't know what the heck that means.
Well, I happen to think birds are healthy. Unless they're in Alaska, I think they're pretty healthy overall.
But yeah, in Alaska, they're all oily birds.
Well, they're oily birds, but
the bird catches the worm.
Yeah, yeah. What's new with you? Where have you been?
Where have I been? Well, I was upstate for a long time.
Oh, you were.
Yeah, but they let me out. No, I got back.
That's beautiful this time of year.
Yeah, like the leaves are coming in and out.
Uh huh.
Anyway, and then you're talking about sushi.
Yeah, sushi.
That's raw fish.
Raw fish and raw worms, too.
Yeah, that's no good, man.
No, well, it can be. I don't know. You know, some people might like the worms.
Hey, I ate some. You ever eat any?
I mean, you know, you get certain bottles of tequila have worms in the bottom of them, you know?
Well, I know a guy who ate them.
Yeah, and, you know, if those worms are good, why can't these worms be good?
Oh, I had a guy, a friend of mine. It's crazy.
In fact, you know, a lot of society can be said to revolve around worms.
Oh, well. No.
The worm is the focal point. Sorry?
Restaurant. I went and ate sushi.
Uh-huh.
And if you knew sushi like I know sushi, you wouldn't eat it.
Oh, boy. It's late, Sammy.
It is?
Yep, it's 1 minute after 12 o'clock, and that means I'm 1 minute late to get out of here.
Well, I appreciate that you're talking to me this long.
Okay, I appreciate that you called.
Maybe you can call me next time.
Well, I'll try that, but, I'll track you down somehow.
I'll give you the number.
Well, that's, no, don't make it easy for me.
If you dial 911, you can get me.
Okay, I'll remember that.
Okay, man.
I'll talk to you next week, maybe, huh?
Hope so.
All right.
Okay, good night.
Take care. One last call. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
All right, fine. I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
About last week's show, about small town Georgia. I was flipping through the paper. I didn't see anything on it. Do you know anything?
All I know was that small town, whose name I already forget, got bombed by accident by the Air Force. And that's all I know. It was a very small town. Nobody in Georgia knows where it is. And I only saw a little tiny piece in the New York Times, you know, one of those little five-line stories at the bottom of the page. You know, usually it's like a bus plunge in Mexico or something. But that was the only mention I saw. I believe it was in last Saturday's Times. So if you want to go to the library and find that, that's probably where you'll find it. Well, I'm sure it'll happen again, so you can catch the next story on it.
All right. I just want to say Happy Mother's Day since it's Mother's Day already.
Yes, Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Yeah.
I hope we have mothers who listen to this show. I don't know if we do, but
my mom's sitting right here listening.
Okay, yeah. Well, special Happy Mother's Day to her.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
You too. Bye.
And that will just about do it for us tonight here on Brain Damage. I guess Mike Juhas has gone to sleep already, so we don't know the results of the phone dropping contest, but he will let me know, and I will let the winners know, and rag on all the losers too. So we'll do it again sometime soon, and we'll be back again next week from 10 to 12. I believe Jim Wiener will be in. We'll be doing all kinds of neat things when Jim Wiener is around. You know, we have all kinds of long, controversial discussions about, well, who knows what. Thanks to all the people that called in, and hopefully we'll hear from you again sometime. We're going to close with a piece from Debbie McClatchy, and if I'm not here next week, it's because I'm at the concert. So maybe I'll see some people there if I do go there. And if I don't go there, I'll be here. Clear enough? Yeah. Boys of the Old Brigade. Good night.
Oh, Father, why are you so sad on this bright Easter morn? When Irishmen are proud and glad of the land where they were born. All songs I see in memory's hue of a far-off distant day. When I was just a boy like you,
this is Beth with the concert billboard for Sunday, May 7th. Tonight, there will be a Bang on a Can festival at the RAPP Arts Center. Actually, that's going to be an all-day kind of thing. Guy Clark and Chance Van Zandt will be at the Bottom Line. Tuesday, May 9th, Carl Perkins will be at the Bottom Line, and Yusuna Dor will be at the New Ritz. Wednesday, May...
I'm in the phone booth.